somebody who asked a question here one day. I was referring to some people as, you know, mighty men of God. And these powerful men of God. That's the way he put it. And I had to ask him, you will need to know what is the power of God before you can know who is a powerful man of God. Am I correct? You have to know what is the power of God. Church, the power of God that was released on the cross on Calvary is not the power to raise the dead. It's a small power. The power to restore the sight of the blind is a small power. So small until Satan can do his job. Two people can make the lame to walk. Do you understand me? Somebody stands and say, you want to see the power of God? Up, and you fall down. Up, and you rise again. Thank God for that power, but it's a small power. What is the greatest power that is on earth today? The power that can change a sinner to a saint is the greatest power that exists on earth today. That is the greatest power. Hallelujah. Listen, church. You are not a powerful man of God until you can preach and a sinner can truly repent. Only the carriers of that power of transformation can preach while Peter yet spake. Hallelujah. A power was released that converted a sinner to a saint. That power struck Apostle Paul, a murderer. Oh, glory be to God. When that power strikes an armed robber, he will drop his gun. When that power strikes a prostitute, she will stop prostitution. When that power strikes a cocaine pusher, he will repent. When that power strikes an adulterer, he will repent, she will repent. That is the greatest power that exists on earth.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
There any question particularly concerning this consecration period? One thing you will observe is that throughout, if you really faithfully follow in this consecration period, there will be some unusual experiences some of us may be having. Dreams. And every dream you have, especially on the negative side, is not for you to be discouraged. It is a prayer point God is showing you to attack in this period. It's a prayer point. Maybe something hiding around you, God will begin to expose it. Especially in dreams, you begin to see it. So don't you get discouraged. Let every dream be a prayer point. Attack it. And I told you, that God does not entertain anybody. If God gives you a revelation, it is because you have the ability to do something concerning that revelation. If you don't have, you will show somebody else who can intervene on your behalf. This is a period to have personal experiences with God and to have spiritual breakthrough. Take advantage of it. Praise God. So, any question?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Sir, please, I want to know how long consecration can last. How long can it last? Does it expire?
Consecration?
Yes, sir. You know why I ask this question? One can consecrate himself and believe that he has been consecrated, and that's an opportunity to go out and do other things. Is it a continuous process that one needs to adopt to it, and continue in it.
The Christian life is a life of consecration. Christianity is a life, it's a life of consecration. Do you know the English word? Consecration is an English word. Do you know the meaning of it? Anybody has dictionary in your phone? Can you look out for the word consecration? Consecrate anything is to set it apart unto the Lord. To consecrate anything is to set that thing apart, to dedicate it unto the Lord. It's to hand over that thing to the Lord. You have consecrated it to keep it holy. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. So consecration is a continuous process.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Pastor, the other day you were saying that if a husband of a woman is not in the business of this consecration, fasting and other things, that the woman must go ahead and obey, even though she is fasting, that she still have to perform the responsibility of cooking for her husband. Pastor, in the process of that cooking for that her husband, can she test the soup or whatever she's cooking? Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because there's no way you can cook soup as a woman without knowing very sure, being very sure of the pepper or salt or whatever, whether it is in order. Oh, can she test it?
Hallelujah. Listen.
Amen.
Church, listen. Listen. Every Christian, fasting is part of our life. This is a group fast. That's why we are even talking about it. Because we as a group, as a church, decided to set a period for fasting. That's why we even talk it like this. You know, but Christian women have their days that they fast. And the Lord Jesus taught us, when you fast, you don't announce to people that you are fasting. And please, what is fast? Fasting is abstinence from whatever you choose to abstain from. You decide what you want to abstain, and you decide to what extent you want to go in the abstinence. If you may decide that I don't want to eat food and water, I will just go dry like that. Even my saliva, I go to pour outside. I don't go swallow. You made a decision depending on why you are doing it, and God honors it. And you may decide, I will fast, but I will be drinking water. You made a decision, God will honor it. Now, in a period like this, I've received some questions from, you know, brethren, some brethren. Let me start with the food. That a woman is cooking food, and she wants to test to see whether the salt is enough, it tastes well, or whatever it is. Does that make her eat? Does it mean she has eaten? So, we have to look at it that way. She has not eaten. Even if she swallows what she tests, it will not stop hunger. It's not a meal she has eaten. In fact, by testing itself, she's provoking the anger the more, the hunger. So, the motive is what God looks at. It is not eating, by testing to make sure she performs her duty and cooks the right food for her husband. Nothing is wrong with it.
Another question.
Yes. Now, I want to go further.
No, that one is answered.
I want to go further.
Okay.
Now, a woman that is fasting and her husband is not fasting and they are married and the man decides to make love to his wife. Now, she won't go to him and tell him, say, I am fasting, stay away. Now, if he's spiritual enough, he should stay away. But if he's like a dog, who, when the thing come on him, you know the reason again. Then, the woman has to know that it is his duty. It is her duty. It is her responsibility. He demands it. He should give it to her. It has not broken your fast. Praise God. It has not broken your fast. And secondly, the husband and the woman, you are all fasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read something Apostle Paul said there. See, verse 3. Are we there? This is the way Apostle Paul put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3 say, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband has no power of his own body, but the wife. That is, it's talking about sexual union. When the man needs it, the woman must give him. When the woman needs it, the man must give her. That is what Apostle Paul is saying there. Now let's go to verse 5. Defraud, that is deprive, deprive ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinences. So, the two of you can agree to stay away from sexual union for a period for the purpose of fasting and prayer. So, fasting is abstaining from all pleasure, including sexual pleasure. If you agree, let it stay like that. But if the other one say, lie, I know the fast reach that level, you have no power of your own body. God bless you.
God, Pastor. Another question I want to ask you, Pastor. You know, many of us, like, we are baptized in Catholic Church when we are small by sprinkling of water. Eh? Now that we are taught that the real baptism is by immersion, we are still in that baby character. The understanding is still somehow childish. From the first time we heard it from you, and we went into the water, And after that, so many things was happening. Because we don't really know the meaning of what we did. So, Pastor, when we now grow older and begin to realize the full meaning of consecration like we are going through now, do we go back to this water to make our calling and election sure?
If, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you give your life to Christ, listen. Listen. And listen very well, church. Water baptism is not the new birth. You are not born again because you went for water baptism. And you cannot talk of a baby Christian until you have been born again. You become a baby from the day you are born again. Then you grow to maturity. After you are born again. Water baptism, I repeat, is to position you to be born again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm saying something strange now.
Yes.
Yes. Water baptism is the process of justification. Where the sin that has separated us from God, from the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell to sin, Adam and Eve, the glory of God departed. Sin separated man from God. Until we were not qualified to even see his glory. That's why when he was given the pattern of the building of the temple to Moses, he had to have the different courts, and then where his glory dwelt, there was a veil that covered it. So that, because a sinful man cannot behold the glory of God. That's why the veil covered the Holy of Holies in the temple. But Christ came and paid the supreme price, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He offered that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and made a way for us to approach the glory of God. That is why that temple, on the day that Christ gave up the ghost, the temple, the veil that covered the Holy of Holies, that separated the congregation, was torn from up down, making us know that we now have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when you have access, he now said in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, ye all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now you can come to God, and then he will do something. Hallelujah. That thing that he does is what changes your nature. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 says, "Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." So what verse 3 is saying there is, except a man be born again, he cannot see. It means you can't understand the kingdom. Thank you.
attributes were manifested to his bride in his last day. We have popular revelation by the last prophet.